Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
a celebration of prototype boards. Now, I'm going to describe a few of the things that I've been doing with prototype boards. And it's not just electronics, the classic electronics you do with it. I've had a bit of experience in I suppose, army windlassing, using wire to hold defences together and mount various trip wires and things like that. That sounds a bit spooky, but it's come to prototype boards. And also some experience building transformer cores and building things for firing up in rockets, incredibly. Or to build some electronics which can actually survive an impact. That's basically it. So those two unusual things have really come to life, or come back to me, when I've been bumbling along trying to make fairly complex circuits, well, not complex circuits, involved circuits, that might be the word for it, and have gradually stumbled across various things. So a bit of the old DuPont connectors, which I'll describe, probably won't have time to do that, and these things called prototype boards. So essentially, you can just, if you've got all these components and you don't have your own printed circuit board, you can actually buy a generic printed circuit board where there are hundreds of little holes drilled through, just wide enough to accept your standard wire, and then it's tinned around, just around the edge, so that when you apply solder, the solder wicks into it and goes down this tube. Now, besides, each hole is isolated from the next hole on the grid because of it's a solder. Let me see, what's waterproof? It's equivalent to waterproof. It repels solder, so the solder beads on these places. So you've got an array, so you can imagine an array. Sometimes I do know there's something well over 16 by 40, various combinations of prototype boards. I've been having a ball. And I probably haven't been podcasting as much as I would, but I've had a ball. Now, the first thing, I suppose, you want to do is that you've got two prototype boards, one and another, and you've got to connect the two together. Now, this is an unusual thing. I've got two prototype boards. And what you do is that you get a header, which is a series of pins on a 10th inch spacing. I think they're not millimeter spacing, 10th inch spacing. You break that off, and on the header you've got a row of plastic and a short end to it and a long end protruding out the other side. So if you get, say, 10 or I think or eight of these in a row, you can just count along eight and just break off, and you've got a little strip of plastic about about 2 millimeters up, and then beneath it are little stubby little things, and then above that the rods or the pins go up. This is an array of pins. And what you do is you get your two prototype boards that you want to solder together, and you put the header through. Then you thread through the two boards, one above the other, a piece of solder, and you cut that piece of solder off, and at the top you wick it, you heat it and wick it, and it will melt and wick down, and then you flip it over and you melt it on the other side and it wicks up. And it means that the two prototype boards now stick together hole to hole. And you repeat that about four or five times, or four times, And I'll tell you what, it's misty in Australia at the moment. Petrol prices have gone down, and it's freezing cold at the moment. It's 11 degrees, my godfather. It was 29 degrees yesterday, and it's 11 degrees now. Right? You're freezing your pants off. So you could get two prototype boards, and the reason that you do that is that on one prototype board, I've got a series of breakout circuits. So breakout circuits are where the sensor goes in and digital signals come out the other side. The conditioning comes across. And so you've got a series of things. I have two pressure sensors, a group of five thermometers, and a group of potentially six, but I only use five A to Ds, groups of two, so two times three analog to digital converters, and these very thin, microscopic, almost slithers of a breakout board. And so I'll tell you how I put them on, but in order to do proper something called strain relief, I've had to marry two breakout boards together, and I'm pretty sure this is not a very much, well, it's not the done thing. Now I'll have to continue after this, and it will probably take me all this while to poor little chap, someone with a crutch hanging out of the car. I nearly ran over it as I was parking up next to him, and sort of had it out to the next. Okay, so I'm in the car park of the supermarket. I've got to buy a few things. Then I've got to go to weight training, and we're up to the point that you've got two prototype boards, and I can marry them together, or marry an infinite number of them together, by placing one on top of the other, just overlapping, just the edges overlapping, such that you can see there's sort of two rows of holes which overlap. And on the rows of holes, you line them up, ensure they're lined up, and then you start putting solder through it. And you can solder top and bottom, and actually it will solder through and link the two together. You can probably get a wire in there and solder it that way if you needed to do it with a wire. But solder just works well. And so you can just start to build bigger prototype boards, or prototype boards at the shape that you want. And I certainly definitely do use up the real estate. So the general thing you do is you put your component in, and there's sort of a standard way of you put your wires of your transistor, if it's three wires, or chip, you put the chip in and slots into it, and you solder it along, and then you get your wires and do it. This one is going radical, and so for the first time you can actually start to build a raft of different prototype boards all stuck together. Now I'll talk about that a little bit later when I get back from my next task. Okay, back again after that short stop at the shops. Now we're talking about prototype boards, and these are flat PCB, sort of insulating sheets with multiple holes drilled on them, so you can insert components. Now I've talked to you about putting two boards on top of each other, or the edges on top of each other, and soldering them through such that you actually tack solder them together. We could actually, if you really wanted to, have a wire and bend it. And the next thing I'm going to talk about is called the thing of strain relief. Now, if you have wires, you know, going off to sensors, and the wires are moving and the sensors have been yanked about, eventually the yanking will lift the connection to your breakout board away. It will rip us apart. So, you know, we're all very used to connecting things, and there's elaborate strain relief. Now, I'm going to talk about putting two thermocouples. So I put pairs of thermocouples onto an analog to digital converter, which has very high precision, 16-bit. Yeah, I think that's 16-bit precision. Now that's numbers as high as 24-bit, but they waste a lot of people. The standard A to D that they provide is a 24-bit. You know, if they're going to get an A to D, they may as well give you the top one because they cost nothing. However, they don't use them effectively, and as far as I can see, they just don't use them effectively. However, I use the 16-bit ones. Now I just got to watch this because now, incredibly, there is mist around here. There's fog in the evening of Australia. Now it's been drought conditions, and now it's suddenly foggy. Sort of, it's a bit summery. Still, I can't believe how cold it is. So I have two thermocouples, which are two bundles of two wires, and the way that I strain relief those is put a bit of heat shrink wrap, which is a plastic rubbery tube, which you can heat up and shrink down. That's not really necessary, and then I poke a piece of this wire. Now, it's a brass wire that you can buy. It's a brass garden holding wire, hold up plants, brass. And the thing about brass is it's a bit tougher than pure copper wire. And you're not using it so much for conduction. And it's a diameter which is sort of pretty much like your component wire diameter, a bit thicker than it, a bit rounder, and you poke it through one hole, up, around, hook over the top to hold down your piece of heat shrink, and as you hop, you put it through, you solder that one in, and then pull it across, and then thread it through, around, and over. So these are in adjoining holes, produces this loop, and look, I can tell you from putting in cables and stuff like that for various devices, you have to put in a holding loop to hold it down, or it just gets dug up. And you know, someone comes past and rips it up, and it rip out your whole wiring system. So this way, you put two of them in, solder them in, and it makes this absolutely gorgeous strain relief. And this is why you need your bigger real estate, because you now are using it up with strain relief. And I have got the feeling that I have absolutely buggered this up. I am completely, call me stupid, and I think you can. I've actually completely lost the plot, missed the place where I'm going to, here we go. Oh yes, how stupid can I be? What on earth is going on with me? I just totally missed the place I had to go to. So I've missed the I have absolutely. That's what I can't forgive myself because it's foggy at the moment. So you'll be able to get this going. So you can imagine now what used to be complete dog shit of boards and, you know, just a box, and you look at it now, it's absolutely, it looks as though it's actually manufactured, it's sort of built. So you've got, and I've got to tell you how I hold the breakouts. That's just insane. So now my thermocouples are held in by strain relief. It looks completely professional. And I have my, it'll be five thermocouples going up. And I have a sort of a trick to increase the temperature sensitivity of a thermocouple by a factor of 10. Amazing. How do you do it? Well, I definitely can do it to give some exquisite thermocouple in this. So I've got the strain relief happening there. The boards have to be larger there. Now, I suppose what I'll talk about is how I put in the breakout boards, and this is just the most sexy way. So if you can remember what I had described before, I'm getting a few extra minutes, a minute or so extra here. This is a header, which is a thin strip of plastic with these pins set at a tenth of an inch spacing, and you can clip them off, cut them off, and you have this just strip of pins, and you solder in small bits. Here's a plastic, and then you've got these pins, so you can have pins sticking out wherever you want. But what I do is I do something completely bizarre. I solder in the short pins into the prototype board, and so I have a row of pins with nothing underneath it, and just these pins picking out. And this is what you'd normally have. And you normally have, jacks to connect. You know, if I want to connect, put in a connection, an optional connection, I have these pins sticking out. So for this, I think for the A to D's, there's 10 pins. For the pressure sensors, there's 4 pins. Yeah, 4 pins. So, yeah, it'll be 4 pins. And I put it in here, and then I put into that the the breakout board. And so sticking out of the breakout board are these reasonably long pins. They're not enough for you to actually put a connector on, but they're sticking out, and you solder it in, and these breakout boards look just so sexy. They're so regularly spaced out there. So I've been able to put a breakout board onto a prototype board, which is hallelujah. This is something I'm going, and I'll tell you what, this is, well, I suppose it's Friday night. You have rehab, and I've just got to get in here. So I've got these breakout boards. Now, the trick is that I have something called hookup wire. Now, hookup wire is something that wire-wrap wire. So wire-wrap wire is a bit different from hookup wire. It's not thick, it's thin, it's really stiff. The stuff that I used to have back in the day used to have Teflon. But I've got this cheap wire, and so you stick a soldering iron, and the insulation just gives away. So you no longer have to strip it. All you have to do is just touch it with a very hot soldering iron, and the insulation just pulls back. So what happens now is that you can solder any pin you want by just wrapping the wire wrap around with the insulation. Normally you have to get a piece of wire, work out how long it is, strip it off, strip it either end, and then just do this way. You just get your piece of wire from A to B, just A to B, and then when you're ready to solder it, you just apply solder to the insulated wire, and the insulation just drops off and the solder goes on. Now, with the pins coming out of the top from the headers, which are on your prototype board, goes through your breakout board, which is a typically a little A to D, where the sensors go in and the digital stuff comes out. Or you may have the breakout board and the sensors actually sitting on the board. And so that's what the pressure sensor is, the breakout board with the pressure sensors. And you just wire wrap, and then you poke the wire through a hole in your breakout board and just wire it to where you want to. And so it's so solid, so great. I think I've just got to remember there's just one or two. I think that's almost it. I'll give it a bit of a talk about it if I can think of anything else. But it's now an hour or 2 hours solid workout at the moment, and it's what time it is at night. It's 8:43, so bugger me, I'm going to be working out. Then I have to talk about how you do voltage rails or signal rails, and this is just two ways to laugh at. It's just fantastic. So I'm having a real great ball now after an agonizing time, trying to write things up, trying to do things. Finally, something comes my way. Thanks a lot for listening, and I'll keep you posted.
Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.